Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Joe McGee. We're talking about common sense things to know as a Christian. You know, things that everybody needs to do eventually. You know, eventually you're going to leave home. Eventually you're going to get a job. Eventually you're going to have to buy a car. Eventually you're going to have to get a place to live. Eventually you're going to have to buy your own shoes and your own clothes. Eventually you got to pay your own taxes. You know, there's just some life things that eventually you're going to have to learn. And we're supposed to teach those things, or be taught those things when we're children. So it's called passing on the faith to the next generation. So today we're talking about part two about life after death. What happens when somebody passes away? And I used to joke about it, you know, even as a young person, and especially as an adult, and then as a minister. Now, funerals aren't for the dead people. They're for the people that got left behind. That's what the funeral's all about. And so, but I've seen more fights break out at funerals than at weddings, at parties, at anniversaries. I'm telling you, you want to stir up some water, have somebody pass away. Because usually nobody's prepared. Nobody was expecting it. Nobody's done any planning. And so all of a sudden, now you got to meet with somebody. Oh, what are we going to do? I got to find a funeral director. I got to pick out a casket. I want to pick out a casket. I've had a loved one pass away. I got to decide how much money we're going to spend. Well, how much money did they have? Did they have any money? And we have any debts? And can you use a credit card? And whose credit card? And so, man, there's so many questions. So this is a simple 10-step process. What to do when somebody passes away. And you need to get it done ahead of time. I tell everybody, every time I do pre-marriage counseling, one of the sessions, one of the evenings on pre-marriage counseling, we're going to talk about life after death. Number one, are you born again? Is Jesus your Lord? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Are you going to heaven? That's the most important thing. Number two, once you leave and go to heaven, what's everybody that's got left behind supposed to do with you? Now what do we do with you? You've left your body. What do we do with this thing? So these are just 10 simple steps. Number one, you got to report the death. Call the authorities. Call 911. Most cities just call 911. Hey, Billy Bob's passed away. Do we need to have an ambulance? Who's going to come get the body? What are we going to do with it? You know, what are the next steps? So second step is you're going to have to call a funeral director. Number two, you got to call a funeral director. You got to fill out the death certificate and probably transport the body and the remains. Most hospitals, nursing homes, hospice, they require removal of the body with just a few hours after death. You can't leave it in there in the bed. So two questions you're going to need to answer. Where will the body be buried or cremated? And what type of funeral service are you going to be having? Well, most people haven't even thought about that. Well, I don't know. What's cremation? Well, it's a lot cheaper than being buried. Well, do you believe in cremation? Well, I don't know. Should I? You know? And so there's questions you've never thought about you're going to have to give answers to. So number one, report the death. Number two, contact a funeral director. Number three, types of service. You're going to have a funeral service, a memorial service, a graveside service. And so usually if you grew up in a big family, we've seen all of the above, been to every kind of. And so types of service. A funeral is it's when you have a service before the body's buried. You're going to invite people, play some music. Somebody's going to give a testimony of what they thought about. They knew their best friend or their parent or their dad or their dog. And they're always sad. Somebody's always crying. A memorial service is when you're going to have a service after the body's already been buried or cremated. We're just honoring them. And then we're going to try to, those usually a lot more happy. And you don't have the dead body there. You're just, hey, person lived a great life. These are the people that, whose lives they affected. They left everybody better than they found them. You know, a graveside service is just like a funeral service, only it takes place at the graveside. Now, regardless of what type of service you have, you're going to need to choose a location. For example, I need a funeral home. I need a church or synagogue, and if appropriate, I need a ceremony. What cemetery are we going to use? You know, you probably haven't even been by the local cemetery. And so you're going to have to start answering some questions. Number three, types of service, funeral service, more graveside service. You get to start answering some questions. Again, the funeral's when you have something before the body's buried. What if the death occurs far away from home? Well, the death occurred far away from home, where the burial will take place. You're going to need to work out with the funeral director in the place the person died, as well as funeral director at the destination. Now, you know, years ago, I had somebody pass away, and we realized something. They wanted to be buried in another state. They left on a piece of paper, and they lived a long life, said, you know, if I ever die, don't bury me here. I want to be buried in this state. Well, we found out, okay, we will do that. Well, they died, and we had the funeral planned out, and we realized something. How are we going to get the body three states away? Well, we got to call somebody. How do we do that? Well, you can fly a body. You can fly a dead body. They fly every day on airplanes. You're probably flying on a plane right now, and somewhere in the bed of that plane is a dead body being flown somewhere. It happens every day. And so we had to find out, well, the city that we're going to bury them in, three states away, that city, who's a very large city, did not allow a dead body to be flown into it. I said, you got to be kidding. There's a law about that? So we had to fly the body in 2 hours away in another city and rent another hearse to drive the body down to this city. And we thought, how complicated can this be? Well, it can get real complicated. So you got to realize something. There's going to be some questions to be answered ahead of time. Number four, make cemetery arrangements. If you're planning to bury, you got to decide where's it going to take place. You know, if the person that died didn't make any arrangements, you're going to have to. So you're going to have to purchase a cemetery plot, a space in the mausoleum. Are you going to bury them above ground, under the ground? Are you going to have cremated? Are you going to put them in a jar? Do you bury the jar? You take the jar home with you? If you're in a home, there's going to be somebody there that'll help you. And they're always very friendly and very nice, and it's almost like they have an anointing to do that. And they're going to help you go through the process. They're going to want to know, do you want to have a church involved, have the service here at our building, you want an affiliated, contact the staff here. You got to write a check for everything. So I've been there as a young man, even as a married man, when somebody passed away, there were no plans. So I've got to go down, you know. I remember when my father passed away, my mother had not made any arrangements. So my dad's just passed away, and they were married a long time, and she loved my dad. Well, she's already kind of upset, so we got to go down and got to pick out a casket, pick out a plot, answer some questions, write some checks. I thought, good night, we should have done this earlier. So number five, make funeral arrangements. And this is where the actual planning's a factor. So you got to have the event. So you got to choose what type of service you're going to have. Are you going to have the body open in the casket or the casket closed? Are you going to have a ceremony around it? You know, you're going to have somebody sing. And there's all sorts of organizations people belong to. And the sisters of the whatever, the brothers of the whatever, they've got things they do. You got to decide, are you going to have any pre- or post-service events? Are you going to visit the night before? Are you going to have some food? You know, you got to have some snacks. People are going to come and visit the body. They're going to stay there a couple hours on average, and they're going to talk and visit. And so what are we going to do? Who's going to provide the food? Well, you know, you probably lost a loved one. I don't want to cook nothing. Well, you're going to have to have some snacks or something brought in. So somebody's got to get a hold of a local store and bring stuff in. They're going to have any music playing, you know, again, open casket, closed casket, even the night before the burial. It's like, what are you going to do? Well, somebody's got to decide. So you'd like to do that early. Number six, choose stuff. Are we going to have a cremation? Now, some people, they don't mind it at all, you know. Some people think it's really bad to be cremated. So if you're going to plan a burial, you'll need either a casket or a burial vault or a grave liner. If you're planning cremation, you're going to need a cremation casket or an urn. It's just different. All these products are available at the funeral home or the cremation service, and they'll work out costs for you, and you can put things on payments, just like buying some for Christmas. Well, I can't afford it, but just put it on payment. Number seven, you got to choose some formal transportation. You know, we've got to go to hearse. I mean, if the gravesite's not at the funeral home, it might be a mile away, it might be 100 yards away, it might be 50 miles away. So somebody's got to do some planning. Well, who's going to go to the graveside service? It's 50 miles away. Well, you're going to lose a lot of people on that alone. How are we going to do this? So transportation is going to be desired. Got to get immediate family members from the funeral location to the cemetery in a funeral service. And you got to have the lights on. Got to have police called. And they provide services. You know, they're not police, but they look like it. And they ride motorcycles beside you. They drive through the red lights. They stop traffic. So you got to work that out. Number eight, you got to inform the family and write a death notice. Now, this can get a little hairy. So depending on the method of notification you're going to be using, now, you know, it's the new age, so we got internet and cell phones and stuff. You're going to need to access the deceased address book or their email account. And these calls can be emotionally difficult. You're letting people know, hey, Billy Bob's died. Jenny Bob's just died. And they're going to cry. And it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be a 30-second conversation. Oh, my goodness, what happened? And how long? And what did they do? And where are you going? And so most of the time when you're calling people, you still don't have all the answers. Well, we know the funeral's going to be at Billy Bob's funeral home. And they're going to be buried at Billy Bob's cemetery. So you got the basics down pat. And so you're going to have to contact people. You're going to let them know. You got to get the word out to a larger audience. A death notice, you know, is a paid announcement. You can put that in the local newspaper. And they can do that real quick. You got a website that notifies people of it in the funeral home. If they would say, hey, go to the Billy Bob funeral home website, and it'll tell you all the details. Then number 9, you're going to have a rundown of possible pre-funeral tasks. So number 1, you got to prepare yourself. You're going to figure out what you're going to wear to the funeral. If you want to purchase an outfit, and boy, this can get expensive, purchase an outfit, you got to have something dry, clean. I don't think I wore that suit in 3 years. And you realize, well, it doesn't fit anymore. Well, I got to get something to wear. So these tasks that somebody else may be able to handle for you would really help out. You've always got somebody in the family that they're the doer. There's somebody that just, they take care of the mess and all the stuff that needs to be done. And so they'll do it for you. Gather personal items. Now, this can get nasty. Got photographs. Photographs of the person who died. Usually you do it at the funeral home the night before when they visit. Here's pictures of their life, what they did, who their family was, where they went. Then the military, if they won awards, they were an athlete or whatever. And you got stuff to show that. You got to have a guest book, and usually the funeral home will provide that. Remember to bring ink pens for the guest book. And you might want to have more than one. Because if you have a big family, there can be a long line. And there's going to be young people. There's going to be elderly people. Make sure you know where all the restrooms are, that they're available. There's just a list of stuff. So this is just the top 10 common sense list of stuff you're going to think about. Number 10, you got to personalize the funeral. You got to make it personal. It's about the person that left. So number 1, listen, when you do this, and I've been through this so many times, choose somebody that's officially in place. If it's going to take place in the house of worship, it'll be usually the pastor. If it's going to be in the funeral home, it's going to be the funeral director. And these are all professionals. They've done it before. They know what to do, what not to do. So get somebody who's done it before. You don't want a novice. Number 2, choose speakers and write eulogies. And be careful when you do this. Be prepared that some people may decline your request to speak. Well, I'm sure Billy Bob would speak. No, they don't want to. Also, be prepared for requests to speak from people you didn't consider. Hey, I want to talk. Well, we didn't think about you. And some people, you're going to deal with every kind of personality you can't even begin to imagine how many options are going to pop up for you. So it's entirely acceptable to decline if you feel there are more than enough speakers or to be appropriate for other reasons. Somebody's got to be the heavy. No, we already have enough speakers. Thank you. We're looking for a speaker. So choose pallbearers. Now, this is a big thing, especially in the South. People that you'd want to have involved as a pallbearer. You know, maybe they're not physically capable of carrying the weight of a casket, but they can walk beside, or they can be in there. They can be what we call honorary pallbearers. They walk beside the casket, behind the casket. You can do that. Choose readings and music. If you want people to deliver a specific reading or prayer, somebody's got to be in charge of that. Because if you're not in charge, if there's not one official person in charge of that funeral, you're going to have a zoo of things read, sung, said. Somebody said, here, we want you to speak. We're going to give you 1.5 minutes. So keep it short. We'd really like you to have it written down so you don't get emotional. Read what you're going to say. So choose readings, what you're going to say. If you're going to have a singer, choir, band perform, you know, make sure you're playing music. Choose the songs ahead of time. Create the program. You got to have something on a piece of paper. And I like this because we're going to keep this. So make it a nice piece of paper. Hey, what is it? Well, it was from Billy Bob's funeral. Really nice. It's real positive, real colored up, really nice. Don't have a lot of things on there that look depressing. I'm just not much on that. Funeral programs contain the order of the service, including the names of everybody's going to speak, what they're going to say, who's going to sing. And, funeral home, of course, they'll do this in advance, and you can pay for it in advance. Then purchase a guest book. Don't get a junky one. Get a nice one. You're probably going to file it in a cedar chest somewhere. You'll never see it again. But the people that are showing up, again, funerals are the people that got left behind, not the people that left. So guest books are placed at the entrance of the service, and you can have 2 or 3 entrances. I know last funeral got a big family. We had 3 entrances, so we had 3 different guest books. Actually, we had 4. The last one I did, we had 4 guest books, 4 different entrances to this big church. So we all had it laid out, and it really went well. Now, the simplest thing to remember is this. I've said it so many times already. A funeral's for the people that got left behind. What you're trying to do is be a blessing to everybody that's grieving, that they've lost a friend, they've lost a relative, they've lost a loved one. Grieving process takes time. And everybody's got a book on it. Some people take, it takes a year, and it takes 3 years, or it takes 5 years. It doesn't matter. I'm not God. I don't control that. My job is just for today or for this service that we're doing next week or next Thursday. My job is to make this as easy and as comfortable, polite, and professional for the loved ones as I possibly can. I'm trying to control the goofballs or the weird things or the nutty things that will try to happen. Don't let stupid break out at a homecoming service. Try to make it as positive as you can. Most of the people in the Bible, it was a celebration when somebody went home to be with God. It's a celebration because the minute you draw your last breath, you're in heaven. You're in the presence of God, and former family members have gone to heaven. Everybody's happy. Everybody's smiling. Nobody's crying. Nobody's sick. Nobody's dying. It's called heaven for a reason. Again, the minute you draw your last breath, you're in paradise. You don't fly through the air. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Funerals are for the ones that got left behind. So concentrate on that and just do the best you can. Try to be the biggest blessing you can. Help everybody. Keep your mouth shut as much as you can. Smile and just work. Work and do what you need to do. And again, if you go to a home after the service, and many people do this, especially again in the South, if you go to the home, wash dishes, clean the toilet, mow the grass, wash some towels, stack some stuff. Don't talk. Just work and serve. You want to be great in my kingdom? Jesus said, if you want to be great, become the servant of all. So this is the time not to get your mouth running and tell a lot of stupid stories, because they're going to quote you. It's the time to be quiet, be still, know that God's God. So be a blessing. Go serve somebody. Learn how to do it in a real simple method, because you're probably going to end up doing it for somebody. Do it right. God bless you guys. Give you great wisdom. Have yourself a great day. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.